Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. In today's episode, Tampa Bay Lightning have taken a 1-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final. We're going to look at some NHL awards, new contract for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in Edmonton, Jonathan Toews preparing to return, and we'll look ahead to Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. So first up, Game 1. In Monday's game, Montreal lost 5-1 at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's attack was led by Nikita Kucherov, had 2 goals and an assist, leading scorer in the playoffs. Now, we got some fortunate bounces along the way, which was sort of the one of the stories of this game for Tampa Bay, but Kucherov just continuing to rack up points. Braden Point also had 3 assists for Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay also locked things down defensively. Remember in Game 7 against the Islanders, they only had 18 shots against, while Andrei Vasilevskiy stopped 18 of 19 shots for the win in Game 1. And maybe the story of Game 1 was Montreal defenseman Ben Chiarot, who scored Montreal's only goal off a little pinball action in front of the Tampa Bay net. But he was also involved in the first 4 goals of the game overall. He ended up being on the ice for 1 goal for, 4 goals against. And now some he was more directly involved than others. Certainly the Kucherov goal early in the third period, where he sent one a pass about waist height to the front of the net that Chiarot could have let just go into the opposing corner. And it would have been harmless, but Chiarot knocked it out of midair, and then trying to knock the fluttering puck out of midair, it landed in the net behind Carey Price. So that was not great, but it was a difficult night for Ben Chiarot overall. Montreal defenseman Shea Weber, who assisted on Chiarot's goal, had 10 shot attempts in the game, had 5 of Montreal's 19 shots on goal. And then at the other end, Montreal Carey Price had 21 saves on 26 shots, which isn't great. But as I said, this was a game where there were a lot of kind of fortunate bounces. If you looked at, you know, Blake Coleman getting the shot that Ben Chiarot blocks, Blake Coleman fires a shot, it tips in off Yanni Gourde. And, you know, between kind of favorable bounces going their way and just Montreal not able to generate enough and getting countered to death, that was really the story of Game 1. Tampa Bay's top line, Andre Palat, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, were on for 3 goals, 4-9 against during 5-on-5 play, while Montreal, the line of Tyler Toffoli, Nick Suzuki, and Cole Caulfield, no goals, 4 and 3 goals against. This is another part of the Game 1 story, is that Tampa Bay really got the matchups that they wanted and stuck with it in a way that I don't think other teams have necessarily been so aggressive in that hard-matching approach against Montreal. And obviously, given those results, you would expect Tampa Bay to look for more of that in Game 2. The best possession numbers for Tampa Bay in Game 1, Braden Point, 68.2%, Corsi, Alex Killorn, 65%, Victor Hedman, 64%. Now, the fourth line, Pat Maroon, Tyler Johnson, and Ross Colton, was at 28.6%. So, you know, maybe there's some advantage to Montreal's depth that they could take advantage of that fourth line, but not enough, obviously. And Montreal's fourth line, they were the ones who were driving play. Eric Staal, 75% Corsi. Corey Perry, 68.4% Corsi. John Merrill, 68.8% Corsi. Now, the guys who are struggling in terms of puck possession, Nick Suzuki, 39.3%. Considering that comes in a game where he got outscored 3-0 at 5-on-5, that's a tough result. And Montreal is not going to go anywhere if Nick Suzuki's getting beat up like that. Paul Byron was 40%, and Ben Chiarot, as mentioned, it was a tough night for Ben Chiarot, 43.2% Corsi for him. And so in some ways, this game doesn't come as any real surprise. Tampa Bay was heavily favored, and you know the results sort of indicated as much. But Montreal had it down 2-1 going into the third period. There's a chance there for them to make this the kind of low grinded out game where one fortunate bounce can go in their way. And it obviously didn't, but I wouldn't write off Montreal just yet. They already knew they were climbing up a pretty steep hill to begin with, but that hill is going to be steeper now that they're down after the first game of the final. So when we come back, we got some NHL awards talk and a few news and notes before we get into Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the National Hockey League. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and, of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can even find locked-on hosts across the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the National Hockey League. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the National Hockey League group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. Download the Green Room app today. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have 9 delicious flavors. If you don't know the standards, they are coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate and salted caramel, wide variety, something for everyone, and they occasionally get some special limited time flavors as well. My favorites, though, are the peanut butter brownie and salted caramel. If you haven't tried all the Built Bar flavors, you can go to get a mixed box where they give you 2 of each of those 9 flavors. You sample them, decide which ones you like the best, and then order more of those. And not only are Built Bars great tasting, and you get covered in 100% chocolate to go along with all those great flavors, they're good for you. And they're loaded with protein, low calorie, low sugar, low carbs. And so if you're jumping into a workout program, consider the Built Bar, because I started using them when I was going to an outdoor boot camp and kind of made it part of the post-workout routine to give my muscles a protein boost. And I think I've had some success. So go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So a couple of news items in the National Hockey League. And one of the top free agents coming for this offseason was going to be Edmonton Oilers center Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. But Nuge signs an 8-year deal for $41 million with Edmonton. And so I presumably he enjoys that he gets the opportunity to play with Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, and that's a pretty good place to be. And Nugent Hopkins has spent his entire career to this point with the Oilers and is comfortable signing up there long term. It's a pretty big deal. As good as Ryan Nugent Hopkins is, the dollar value is not bad on this. The cap hit is like 5.125, which that's okay. The challenge here is that it's an 8-year term. And, you know, this is a 28-year-old who had his lowest points per game since 2016-2017. And, you know, that may just be a bit of bad luck, because certainly in previous years when he gets the chance to play with McDavid and Draisaitl, is usually how that works, you know, Nugent Hopkins has been reasonably productive. But we're talking a 28-year-old on an 8-year deal. You know, there may be some regret at the end of his term, but I mean, really, what are the odds that it's going to be Ken Holland who's going to be the one worrying about the end of this contract for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? So I understand why the Oilers are doing it. And I suppose if Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is comfortable and likes the direction that the Oilers are headed, I can understand it from his perspective. But I do think the Oilers are taking on some risk here, but it's also risk that I think they're not worried about. They're worried about what happens in the next few years, about whether or not they can get over the hump here with Connor McDavid, because if they can't, then you know, they're going to have much bigger issues to deal with. And then other big news we got was Jonathan Toews, the Chicago Blackhawks. Looks like he's preparing to return for next season. And obviously, I'm cheering for Jonathan Toews, because, you know, he seems like a good guy, a serious hockey player, and he didn't ask for you know, the issues that he had to deal with last season, and I think, you know, give him a chance to, you know, get away from the game for a year is one thing, but and you know, when you've been a high level player like Jonathan Toews, you haven't been away from hockey for as long as he was. And so that's going to take some time for him to get back. But, you know, it appears he's been starting to work out and back on the ice. And so I would expect that, you know, all things equal, that he's going to be part of their plans for the 2021-2022 season. And as much as I want to be optimistic and hopeful for Jonathan Toews, keep in mind, he's a 33-year-old who's just missed a full season. And in four of the previous five seasons, he ranged between 50 and 60 points. Now, I think if you go in with modest expectations, there's a chance, potentially, for Toews to have some value, because he's a great player who's going to get every opportunity to succeed in Chicago. But I think any optimism has to be cautious, because the circumstances of a player that age whose point production has generally been declining. A couple years ago, he had an 81-point season, but in general, the trend has been downward. And so if, given that he's missed an entire year and given the declining production, I would just be cautious about what to expect from Jonathan Toews next season. So now on the awards front, I know I've already covered picks for the Vezina. I had UC Saros over Semyon Varlamov. I don't have a huge complaint about Marc-Andre Fleury winning, but he probably wouldn't have been my choice. For the Selkie, I had Patrice Bergeron over Blake Coleman, who got no votes. So I'm on an island on Blake Coleman, I suppose. And the Calder, where I had Kirill Kaprizov over Jason Robertson. No surprise there. And Jack Adams had Rod Brind'Amour over Mike Sullivan. But a couple of the awards that got handed out on Tuesday that I haven't really broken down. And so for the Norris, which ended up going to the Rangers' Adam Fox, and Fox would have been one of my finalists. He had an outstanding season, and so I don't have a huge issue with it, but I would have gone with Cale Makar for Colorado. And I know a lot of Makar had massive power play effect, but he scored a point per game, and I'm not just taking Cale Makar because he scored a point per game, but my eye test on Cale Makar is, I think he does things that there aren't a whole lot of other defensemen that can make that kind of impact on the game. So Makar would have been my choice. Dougie Hamilton for Carolina would have also been one of my finalists. He had a outstanding dominant season, even though it started off relatively slowly because he was coming off a broken leg last season. And if you looked at Hamilton's numbers kind of second half of the season down the stretch, it was off the charts fantastic. So Makar, Hamilton, and Fox would have been my 1-2-3. Victor Hedman, early on, say the first half of the season, he looked like he was going to be a lock for it, in part because of his reputation, and he had a strong playoff for Tampa Bay on their way to a Stanley Cup. But then it appeared, and whether you'll ever get anybody to admit it or not, it appeared that Hedman got injured in a March 30th game against Columbus, and his performance ever since then was fairly mediocre. It wasn't disastrous, it wasn't terrible, but it was mediocre. And so it's tough to be the best defenseman in the league when you have a long stretch of play that's mediocre. And so Hedman slides out of the finalists there, but still, he's one of the better defensemen, obviously. Jeff Petrie from Montreal. He faded a bit in the second half of the season, but he had the best season of his career. Finished second on the Canadiens in scoring. And some of those goals aren't going to be sustainable, but we're not looking for sustainability. This is just a matter of measuring Petrie's performance this year. And I thought he was an impact player for Montreal. At number six, I had Boston's Charlie McAvoy, who's outstanding at 5-on-5 and as a penalty killer, doesn't contribute much on the power play, and that's going to be a hurdle for McAvoy to win a Norris Trophy if he doesn't put up points on the power play. And that's not maybe that's not fair, but that's public perception. And really, Adam Fox, he was getting a lot of appreciation from the stats nerds long before the public jumped on board when Fox started scoring points partway through this season. And that's sort of where it's going to hang out there for Charlie McAvoy. He might be great at 5-on-5 and on the penalty kill, but if the point totals aren't don't stand out, it's going to be tough for him to garner enough votes from people outside the advanced stats community, because I think the advanced stats people would happily have Charlie McAvoy in the finals, and I would be okay with that, the point production thing is still does control some of the voting, but by by quite a few of the writers. So who we have at number seven, Darnell Nurse for Edmonton. Now, his defensive impact wasn't great this year, but he was really productive offensively, scored a bunch of goals. And the puck did move the right way when Nurse was on the ice. Sure, his offense was boosted by the fact he got to, you know, share the ice with McDavid and Dreisaitl. But I think, you know, overall, Nurse's impact was positive. Florida's Mackenzie Weegar, who had an outstanding defensive season, and I guess more to his credit was that when Aaron Ekblad was injured, Weegar didn't miss a beat. In fact, probably his game even improved a little bit more as he took on more responsibility. At number nine, Shea Theodore for Vegas, who's an elite generator of offense, really has been for the past three seasons. And, you know, if you wanted to argue for Theodore to be higher, I wouldn't argue too hard against that. Now, then after that, I've sort of got a mishmash of guys who were under consideration, but didn't quite get in there. Roman Josi for Nashville, Devon Toews for Colorado, John Carlson for Washington, Jacob Chychrun for Arizona. Ryan Ellis probably missed too much time for Nashville. And then Sam Girard for Colorado as well was had a great impact, but also he's basically the third best defenseman on his team. It's tough to get a whole lot of Norris Trophy love in that situation. So then to the heart, where Connor McDavid was unanimous winner, and I will add my voice to that chorus. McDavid's season was different and special, and so he should have been the unanimous winner. I guess next for me would have been Nathan MacKinnon. Austin Matthews was third for me, but I don't think there's a huge argument to be made. I think McDavid, MacKinnon, Matthews should have been 1, 2, 3, and you can pick the order that you would like between 2 and 3. So others on that I would have had in consideration, Brad Marchand from Boston, Alexander Barkov from Florida, so that would have rounded out the five-person ballot. I'd consider Dreisaitl for Edmonton and Mikko Rantanen for Colorado, although both of them get kind of dinged because they play with other superstars. Kirill Kaprizov from Minnesota would deserve some consideration, as does Sebastian Aho for Carolina and Mark Stone for Vegas. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that when you vote at the end of the regular season, no one would have trouble putting Mark Stone there. When you get there and discuss it after the playoffs, when he has a really tough series in the semifinals, it's not as easy to remember what Mark Stone's regular season was like. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. That includes Major League Baseball, the NBA and the NHL are in their playoffs, and your UFC MMA action. Before the next puck drop, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And now before we go, let's take a look at Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Tampa Bay on betonline.ag is -198, home against Montreal. Again, this is a bigger premium than I'd like to pay for Tampa Bay. And you might say, well, it was a 5-1 result in Game 1. Tampa Bay blew them out. Why would you even worry about it? Well, like I said earlier, is that Montreal was trailing 2-1 going into the third period in a game where the shot totals were quite low. And I would say that Montreal's, that's their kind of game. You know, yes, they need to do better on say, shaking some of the hard matches that Tampa Bay was getting. But I would hope, at least from Montreal's perspective, that they recognize what happened in Game 1 and might attempt to fix it. And so, yes, I think Tampa Bay should be favored, but I mean, I'm in the -140 to -150 range. They're missing Alex Killorn. He's not going to play in Game 2. And yes, Killorn isn't a superstar, but he's been a really valuable contributor for the last two playoff runs here for the Lightning. And so I don't think we can just, you know, wave away his absence. You know, if I'm looking at value in this game, it's going to be on Montreal's side. Maybe this is one to take a break and see how things go before they head back to Montreal for Game 3. But Montreal +178 on BetOnline.ag is more appealing given, you know, the high premium you have to pay to take Tampa Bay. So that will do it for today. Enjoy Game 2. You can check out my work at The Athletic and McKean's Hockey, as well as scottcullenhockey.substack.com. Also, check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. Find these podcasts, subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Today in the Locked On Today podcast, the Los Angeles Clippers are back in the game. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.